Welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Hey there, and welcome back to Thundercast, ThunderTech's regular podcast. As always, I'm Craig Israel, creative director at ThunderTech. And we have some very special guests with us today. First, president of the agency, Jason Therrien.
Howdy.
And a super special guest. Today on the phone with us, we have Tom Stewart, the executive director of the National Center for the Middle Market.
Hi.
So, Tom, thanks for joining us today. It's great to have you on there. And I know that you recently spoke at the 2016 Greater Cleveland Middle Market Forum here in Cleveland. So you're fresh off the trail of giving some great advice.
Well, I don't know if I was giving great advice, but I was certainly giving the best I could.
So before we jump into, you know, the where's and when's of the middle market right now, I was hoping that just for our listeners' benefit, if you could give us a definition of what do we consider the middle market?
So let me back up a little bit from that to get to the definitional question.
Sure.
The National Center for the Middle Market started in 2011, and that was actually one of the first questions that was asked. So how do you define the middle market? And somebody once said to me, it's sort of like, you know, the Brady Bunch. You know, there's glamorous Marcia, and there's adorable Cindy, and then there's Jan. who's the middle market? And people who are in the investment space, private equity companies, bankers, and so on, tend to define the middle market in terms of EBITDA, earnings before all the various things that it's earnings before. Government officials tend to define the middle market, if they define it at all, in terms of headcount. But we decided that the middle market should be defined as the middle third of the private sector. That is to say, how would you set the sliders if you were to sort of say, what's the middle third of GDP and the middle third of payroll in the private sector? And that is roughly companies between $10 million a year in revenue and $1 billion a year in revenue. Now, that's a big spread. It's like two orders of magnitude.
Right.
But they're bigger than small, and they're smaller than big. And they're not startups. The median age of these guys is 31. So they've been around the block a couple of times. And they're not Fortune 500 global companies. You know, up there at the $800 million level, they start to look like multinationals. Down there at the $10 million level, $11 million level, they look like small businesses, but they share a common set of characteristics and a common set of growth points as they grow through, or if they grow through that 10 million. And that's the middle third. So that's where we set the sliders. What's the middle third? Let's look at that.
Yeah, so really a very significant cross-section of industry in our country.
You know, it's enormous and entirely underrepresented in terms of mind share, in terms of people's realization. First of all, it's a third of the private sector, so that means it's a lot. If the middle market were an economy on its own, it would be the fifth biggest economy in the world. It would be bigger than all of Germany. So it's huge. It also, it's in every sector, so you can find, you know, everything from construction companies to every professional sports team is a middle market company. But it's slightly overweighted to manufacturing. About 17-18% of the middle market is manufacturing versus about 12-13% for the economy as a whole. So if you do that math, 40%, give or take, of America's industrial base is in the middle market. So it's a critical segment of the economy for U.S. competitiveness, and a very critical segment of the economy for individual cities and towns and metropolitan areas. I mean, you look at I'm trying to remember, I think it's in Orange County, California, between L.A. and San Diego, that big metropolitan area there, something like 39% of the payroll is in mid-sized companies.
Wow.
And if you think, four out of 10 employees, think about how many families that is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a really significant part of the economy.
So why do you think it's often ignored and certainly misunderstood?
Well, I'm not sure it's misunderstood so much as ignored. And the reason I think, there are a number of reasons. Couple of them are just sort of information. 85% of these companies are private. So they are, and of that 85%, about a third of those are family businesses, about a third of those are private equity owned, and a third or other. They could be partnerships and stuff like that. So only 15% are public companies. So that means there's no stock market stories. You know, big movers on Wall Street today, you will not right. see middle market companies there. You know, you'll see an occasional big tech IPO, and those are often middle market by the time they become IPOs. They've sometimes grown beyond that. But you don't see the regular drumbeat of stock market stories. You don't see a lot of academic research because they're private. There's not a lot of data, and scholars crave data. Now, we give grants to scholars, and we provide data, so we're helping to fill that. But that's another piece. Another reason is that the consulting firms, the big ones that do a lot of research into companies, McKinsey, BCG, they're aiming at billion-dollar companies. So that's not part of their target market. And the other thing is in the media. You know, you get great stories in Inc. magazine about mid-sized companies, but the classic Inc. story is the entrepreneur who's tapped out his credit cards and suddenly the tide turns, right? And they're great stories. But, you know, in the other places, Harvard Business Review, which I used to run, Fortune Magazine, where I used to work, you don't sell more copies of Fortune by putting the CEO of Vitamix or the CEO of Tootsie Roll or the CEO of, you know, Callaway Golf, maybe Callaway Golf. But you don't sell more magazines by putting them on the cover. And so they sort of fly underneath the radar. And then culturally, we love the story about the two guys in the garage.
And we love the captains of industry.
But the guy with the factory at the end of the road who's been doing his job for, you know, 31 years and is hiring the daughters and sons of the men and women whom his mother or father hired in the first generation, that's not a sexy story. And, you know, you see that in business development groups. Man, business development groups in cities and states go out and they spend their energy trying to lure a company from Texas to Ohio or Ohio to Texas. You know, they try to do that, or they build stadia, or they start another biotech incubator. Mm-hmm. But the job growth, the actual job growth, is in helping the companies that are already in place, many of the mid-sized companies, grow. But the mayor doesn't get his picture on the front page of the paper cutting the ribbon on the new training room at that factory. So the political incentives, the media incentives, aren't there to pay a lot of attention, and yet that's where the money is.
So Tom, you mentioned your organization, the National Center for the Middle Market. So keeping along this thread of helping the middle market, tell us a little bit of background of what your organization does and how it helps the middle market.
So we're part of Ohio State. We're part of the Fisher College of Business at the Ohio State University, as I said, founded in 2011. We started out with funding from and a grant from GE Capital. As you may know, GE sold off almost all of Capital Now, and we are now supported, and quite wonderfully, by a new group of funders. SunTrust Banks is our principal funder. Grant Thornton, the tax audit accounting advisory firm, and Cisco Systems, the technology company, are also there as supporters of us. And as I said, are in our fifth year. And our mission is to help middle market companies be fully realized and have their contribution to the economy be fully realized, which we think means two things. One is knowledge of, awareness of, attention must be paid to the importance of these. And the other is knowledge for, helping to produce rigorous but accessible research that helps the leaders of these companies manage them better. These companies are really productive, but they're sort of thinly managed. They don't have, you know, strategy teams sitting in a windowless room of a cube farm, sort of sizing the markets. These people are working hard at their jobs, and group of people we were once working with said to us, they spend so much time working in the business that they don't spend enough time working on the business. So part of what we do is help them understand how things like strategy, innovation, operational excellence, topics like that, exports, globalization, how to address them knowing who they are and not sort of translating. You know, let's not take what works for Procter & Gamble and lop off two zeros and say it works for you, because it probably doesn't.
Right.
And let's not say what this is what works for an entrepreneur and multiply by 100, and because it doesn't work. So we sort of do a lot of work on in producing content of that sort, working with our partners, with other research partners, with faculty here at Ohio State, and with a lot of survey-based stuff with middle market companies to sort of understand what excellent practice is in key management issues that face these executives.
So speaking of surveys, you guys just published your first quarter 2016 middle market indicators. Yep. Can you talk about those? Because, boy, reading those and then listening to you last week, there were some nice nuggets in there, nice surprises.
Well, it's interesting. This is part of the knowledge of. If you think of this bird with two wings, knowledge of and knowledge for, this is the knowledge of the middle market. Every quarter, we survey 1,000 companies, working through a research panel, get companies that are representative of the middle market in terms of industry size, geography, so on and so forth, and we take a pulse check. We ask about revenue, we ask about payroll, we ask about profitability, we ask about investment plans, we ask about confidence, we ask about challenges, and a number of other questions in those buckets, and then a bunch of background questions that sort of go deeply into R&D spending, plans for, you know, whether you're thinking of doing any M&A activity in the next year, or so on and so forth. So it's the pulse check for the middle market. And what we found on a national basis on the last 12 months, and the 12 months that basically ended with the first quarter of this year, is 6.3% revenue growth in the middle market, 6.3% top line growth, which is really remarkable. It's practically as fast as the economy of China is growing, and that's if you believe the official numbers out of China.
Which nobody does.
Well, you know, who knows, right? Right. But I doubt they're understated. But we also found, trying to get the number right up in front of me so that I have it. I think the employment growth number was 3.7%, 3.6% growth in payrolls in the middle market in the last 12 months, which this is sort of interesting. The payroll numbers are really interesting because if you look at middle market added jobs, 3.6%. Big business added jobs, S&P 500 added jobs at a 2.2% increase in payrolls in large companies, and small business, 2.1%. Now, everybody says small business is the engine of job growth in the economy. A year ago, or about last Christmas time, I was Governor Kasich came and talked to the Ohio Chamber, sort of a Christmas lunch, and he's talking there, and every third phrase out of his mouth is the small businessman and the entrepreneur, small business and the entrepreneurs, and he's not alone in saying this. They all say it.
Right.
And I wanted to rush the podium and sort of grab him by his lapels and say, Gov, you got it wrong. And the reason is small business creates a lot of jobs, but it kills a lot too. You know, I mean, startups, 50% of them don't make it past their sixth year. You can go down down Euclid Avenue or High Street here and you see the empty storefronts and you know that they, you know, some of them got knocked out by the crash in 2008. Others can't fight against Amazon, right? So it's harder in that area. So there's a lot of job creation, but a lot of job destruction. But net job growth, I mean, basically, we've been doing this for 17 quarters. Every quarter, you see that job growth in the middle market is 50 to 100% higher in the middle market than it is in either small business or big business.
So what kind of trends do you attribute that to?
Well, part of this is this sweet spot between resilience and agility. They're big enough to be able to take a punch and agile enough to be able to float like a butterfly, sting like a... Another piece is that they're financially conservative. Many of these are, as I said, are family businesses. They're playing with their own money. They don't like debt. If you ask the smaller middle market companies, revenue below $100 million a year, what's the ideal revenue of debt? They say nothing. It's sort of like they're like a camel. You know, there may be a desert in front of me. I better bring some water. They're careful. And you know, the big guys look now, and you know, interest rates are low. Hey, they're giving away money. Let me get some. You know, right. they are much more strategic about it. But the smaller guys are financially conservative. So they've got that resilience and they've got agility. And they tend to know their customers really well. They tend to be local champions, so they really, know their customer base and know their customers by name, and have that. Now there are a few other trends that are interesting. If you want to think about, macroeconomically, it's, we've got 8 years of expansion, right? And the middle market is taking more than its share of those 8 years of expansion. And so that's a piece of it. You also see some pretty interesting work in globalization and innovation in these companies. Again, remember, they're cautious, but when they move, they tend to move pretty effectively, and they want to have a high hit rate, partly because they can't afford a lot of losses.
Right.
So they've been taking advantage of these trends. They're doing, interestingly, one trend that they seem to be cautious but pretty effective is in digitization. We've done a number of sort of pulse checks on digitization in the middle market. And for the most part, they're spending a lot of money on digitization, 12% of revenue on average on digital activities, which include stuff that they, using, computer systems for payroll and closing the books. I mean, it's old stuff as well as Internet of Things. And
yeah,
stuff
it seems like that. You guys have defined that, everything from CRM to inventory systems to, like you said, payroll, things that they may had just not gotten on board as the century turned, but now are catching up rapidly, and it's assume it's giving them great gains.
Well, what's interesting is that all that back office stuff. I mean, everybody does it, and you pay the nut. You're continuing to, that's just how you now run your business.
Right.
But what's very interesting is that as companies move forward in digitization, first of all, they get more comfortable offloading stuff to the cloud, which saves them money. And second of all, they get more comfortable dealing with customers digitally and putting investment into analytics, innovation, strategy development, and moving into some of those, not just data processing, but thinking processes in digitization. And you're starting to see the companies that are doing that really well are among the fastest growing middle market companies. So there's a strong correlation between smart and aggressive digitization and outsized growth. Now, I don't know which is cause and effect, or more likely they cause and effect each other in a
right.
circle. But you can sort of see that the guys who are jumping into that pool in the deep end are showing some pretty great swimming ability.
I'm so glad you mentioned that, because we've seen so many clients here at ThunderTech that have taken multitude of digitization efforts, from back office to the way they service clients, to the way they market clients, the way they sell. And it's fascinating, because as soon as they start, they get a taste of it, and they keep coming back for more, because they see those gains realized, and then other departments start coming in on them. So it's a fascinating kind of trend to watch.
But what's really interesting, I agree with you, but what's really interesting, one question we asked, we did this study called How Digital Are You, which you can get on our website, which is middlemarketcenter.org, and all this stuff is on our website. But in How Digital Are You, we asked a couple of questions. One question we asked is, we asked people to rate themselves on their digital excellence on a 5-point scale, from 0, we're nowhere, to 4, like we're we're ace. And we'd like 0 to 4, I'll give myself credit for this, was my idea, because that way you could get a 5-point scale, which you want, but it also you could get you a GPA because you have 4. And the middle market's GPA is 2.8. It's great point average, 2.8. So it's a C plus. And here's what they said, if you double click on that, you ask them about your most recent digitization project. How much did it cost? How long did it take? What was your return on investment? The return on investment they expected was 30%. The return on investment they got was like 28%. Like, wow, terrific. But then, if you ask them about connecting the dots, how does project A relate to B and B relate to C? Not so much. So the projects are doing really well, but the transformation, I've become a digital enterprise, that's harder. And I'm not quite sure why, but individual projects are moving individual needles within a silo or a department or whatever, but the enterprise as a whole, it's hard to pull these things together so that the enterprise as a whole is moving in sort of an accelerating fashion. But those that are really seeing it.
Yeah, fascinating stuff.
All right, so that about wraps up our time. Tom, give another plug for where people can find more information about the National Center for the Middle Market if they're looking for it.
Yeah, and download the reports, folks. That is something I go out personally and I distribute them to my staff. These are great reports to sink your teeth into, and they've got a – and Tom, or maybe you'll disagree, but you got enough meat on the bones, but they're not overly academic. They're quick to get through and give you a good pulse on what's happening with their peer set.
Well, you're nice to say that. That's our sweet spot that we try to hit, is that combination of rigor and relevance so that you can trust it but also use it. And again, it's the National Center for the Middle Market. The website is middlemarketcenter.org. And hey, you know, we're part of the Ohio State University. It's all there. We're not charging for this stuff. So all you have to do is register and download. And that's part of our mission of trying to help middle market companies in Ohio and across the nation, continue to do what they do better than anybody else, which is go out there and kick butt.
Absolutely. And you speak quite a bit. So are there any cities that you're going to be in soon in the next few weeks?
Oh, heavens. I'll be a lot around Ohio, around Columbus and Cincinnati and Cleveland in various venues. But we've got a bunch of things coming up in New York, in Chicago, in D.C. I was just in San Francisco. You know, it's around. Actually, on our website, again, on middlemarketcenter.org, we do have an events calendar, which is reasonably up to date.
Great.
So if anybody cannot get enough of the sound of my own voice, apart from me, they can find out there.
Beautiful.
Wow. Great information for not only the middle market, but business in general. Again, special thanks to Tom Stewart, Executive Director of the National Center for the Middle Market. We really appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Craig, Jason, thank you.
And as always, if you enjoyed what you hear today, you can subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or Stitcher or wherever fine podcasts are sold. Plus, you can find all the podcasts that we've ever done on our website at podcast.thundertech.com. Thanks for listening.